Welcome to the Full Potential Podcast. I am your host, Nick Wagner Sr., and every week I interview guests that share career stories, ideas, and experiences to empower and inspire people to reach their full potential. If you enjoy the episode, please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts, Google, and Spotify. Thanks for listening. I'm joined by Eric Opong on the Full Potential Podcast tonight. And Eric, I had mentioned to you, we're mixing it up a little bit. I usually interview people that are much further along in their careers than you. Yes. But tonight we are actually interviewing yourself, who I would actually consider an early career professional, which is the intended target audience of this podcast. So it's going to be fun to hear about where you are in your journey and what's going well and what might not be going well. So Eric Opong, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you for having me in this podcast.
Yeah. So Eric, people always ask me how I find my guests for the podcast. And some of them I know personally, some of them are introduced to me. And then some of them, like yourself, we were introduced. I think we were connected actually through LinkedIn.
Yeah, 2018.
And you've been following me, and I've been following you, and you've been doing some great work over the past few years. I've been watching your journey, and we connected and talked about having you on the show, and here we are. So I appreciate you making time, and I know that this is not always easy to jump on a podcast, using audio and video, and sharing your journey with everyone, but I think people are going to really appreciate where you've been and where you want to go and hearing your story tonight. So thank you. Why don't we start, Eric? I always ask the question, when you meet someone and they ask, you know, who is Eric? How do you answer that question? Right? Like how do you describe yourself?
Yeah. So honestly, this question is always a little bit tricky. So when I go to a conference or a networking event, and when I meet almost like 2,000 or 1,000 people around different state, and if I meet a student, hey, who are you? So I say, Eric. My name is Eric, and I went to school at Eastern Connecticut State, and I'm holding my bachelor's degree in business. And as of right now, I'm continuing my MBA program at Sacred Heart University. But it's not just only what I tell them. I also tell them that I am driven to help other people, and I'm also a people person as well too. But so once I say something like that, and if the conversation is about to end, I just ask the person, so what do you like to do in general? Because the reason I ask the person, because I want the person to say something that I can recognize the person. You know, like for example, like MLK said, I have a dream. Everyone still remember what MLK said during his speech, I have a dream. So if the person said, oh, fun, he loved like hiking or something. And then I said, okay, for me, I love to like read like inspiration book, you know? So that means like we just made those connections. So that's why I just kind of like introduce myself to other people at the conference. But if that's like a real interview, then I just talk about myself. Then I just go more in depth where I came from and what kind of leadership roles that I involve myself into. Yes.
Yeah, and I love how you try to learn something personal about them to connect with them. And I think for a lot of people, that personal connection that you try to create, not only does it mean a lot to them, but I think for you, it probably helps you remember that individual and about them. And I think everyone kind of remembers people in different ways. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Exactly.
So let's talk about, I always like to, Eric, to kind of go back to the beginning, right? So you mentioned you just graduated from Eastern Connecticut State University. That was in 2020. Yes. You're now getting your master's degree at Sacred Heart University. So we'll talk about that.
Yes.
But let's go back to when you were little, Eric. you know, back in the day, right? I like to kind of go back in time because I always want to hear about how you were brought up. And I asked that question because I love to hear when you're a little kid, like what did you want to do when you grew up? What was Eric's dream growing up on what you wanted to do? What did you want to be?
So honestly, this is a great question. So I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I have some inspiration family around me, and my family didn't just force me to go to school to do like a medical doctor or to go to school for a business law, like a law school and engineering, but that wasn't in my mindset. So for me growing up, my parents encouraged me they encouraged me for that. So for me growing up, so getting to high school, when I came to the U.S., like going through high school, I figured out what I wanted to do because I was part of a business club. And so being part of the business club really helped me to communicate with other people and also giving back to the community and the customers. So that's what I wanted to do, like in the business field.
So you mentioned when you came to the U.S., Eric, yes. And I want to talk about that because I think that's a fascinating part of your journey and your life story. Tell us where did you come from? So where were you living prior to the U.S. and share a little bit about what it was like, coming here and relocating and just kind of uprooting your entire life. Share a little bit about that story.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, yeah, I would love to share it. So I came from Ghana. So coming here like around 2012, when I first stepped in New York, I mean, it didn't like really surprise me that much because that was my first time, like kind of like winter time seeing the snow. But my mindset, when I first arrived to the United States in New York, I said, oh my gosh, this is where I'm going to make my dream happen. You know, even though my dream is still, I'm still building on my dream a little bit. So in Ghana, it was different from the U.S. So Ghana, they have like a different policy. And the U.S., you guys have so many policies that everyone have to go through. So the culture was very so a little bit hard for me. But I have to stick with it so that I can push myself a little bit more harder.
And when we were talking before the show, Eric, you mentioned your parents came first and then you came afterwards. So they were already settled here in the U.S. when you made the journey.
Yes. Yes.
And so I want to hear about the culture differences, though, because I think that's really interesting. And I asked that because, as I mentioned to you earlier, this podcast is really focused on early career professionals. And we are really in a global economy and a global business world where, you might work in the U.S., but you could work with individuals from all across the world. So share a little bit about the differences between Ghana and the U.S. and maybe some things that my audience would find interesting.
So the culture, like in Ghana, the culture was very different from the U.S. So like, for example, like education, like going through school, it may take a little bit, some few months for the teachers to finish this topic that they're teaching on, right? So in the U.S., like once a teacher teach a topic, it may take like maybe 5 weeks or 6 weeks just to like wrap it up, you know? So that was something like a little bit more difference in the culture. And also going through like university, like in Ghana, they break it up. You have to go to high school. And you have to go to like something like the secondary school. And after that, you have to go to like university. So that's like, they have four steps, like four process that people go to like all schools. Like in the US, you go to the high school. After high school, then you go to college. That's it. So that's what Ghana, like they have like three ways, like three process of their school selection and stuff. Yeah, so.
That's really interesting. And I always find it interesting just the difference in education around the world. You mentioned that your parents pushed you once you would finish high school here in the U.S. to go to college.
Yes.
Why was that so important in their eyes for you to go to college?
So, I mean, education was given to us. It was a gift. So regardless, if you don't go to school, life is going to be a little bit tough for yourself. So because my family, they went to school and they have been successful. So for me, not going to school is going to be a little bit discouraged to them. So I have to go out. And even like in Ghana, I went to school all the time, 24/7. And I love it. Going to school just to learn new things and building on those experiences is always great for me. So when I came here, that's the same process that I went. You know, so like going to high school and college, I've made long life relationship with other people. So that's the most important. The education was very important in my family's side. Yeah.
Yeah. What I've found from interviewing guests on this podcast is a lot of my guests really are inspired by the what their parents have kind of pushed them to do around education. So I'm not surprised to hear that your parents valued education, and I mean, clearly you value education as well, getting your undergraduate degree and now getting your master, in the process of getting your master's.
Yeah, so Nick, I can even like add one more point to it.
Absolutely.
Because I have little kids, I have little nephews and nieces, right? So my nephews and my nieces, most of them are in elementary school and high school. So if I don't go, to school, and I want to set up like a good example so they can follow my pathway, you know? And then at the end of the day, they're going to call me, wow, uncle went to school and now he's a great inspiration, man. That's what I want to do for my nephew and my niece so that they can use that to motivate themselves, you know?
Yeah, I like how you're trying to role model for them. I think that's really powerful. Let's talk back about your comment around the business club. So I think you bring up a really good point that whether it's high school or
high school.
In college, joining some of these extracurricular activities like a business club can actually help you figure out what you'd want to do with your career. So what was it about the business club and the work you did there that really got you excited about, you know, going into business and working in that field? What was it that made you so excited about it?
So the club that I joined was Future Business Leadership of America. So the reason why it made me so excited about it, so the Future Business Leadership of America, so we do like networking programs and we go like to meet like different people, and we also do like competition cases and stuff. So like a study case and stuff. And so in high school, I really enjoy it because doing the business club really helped me to be more confident in my communication skills and my presentation skills, even though I speak a different language, but it wasn't the same. But joining that club really helped me. So when I went to college, I didn't wait until my junior year. I just picked my college right my freshman year in college. That okay, this is what I want to do. And all 4 years, I was able to stick with it, and I really love it. I really love the aspect of business.
Yeah, you bring up a great point, Eric. That not only did this club help you figure out you wanted to go to school for business, but it also helped you with other professional skills like public speaking. So I think that's yes. another great reason to join some of these clubs. So let's talk about college and how that, clearly you're a lifelong learner. I think that's apparent to me. But let's talk about, so you went to Eastern Connecticut State University I'm reading from your LinkedIn. So a Bachelor of Business Administration, which is a business administration and management.
Yes.
What was, when you joined Eastern, what was your plan? Like, what did you want to do when you graduated with that degree? What were you thinking?
So that's a good question. Honestly, I graduated before the pandemic hit. I was in school in March, and they closed the campus. They said everyone have to come back home because of the COVID-19. I said, oh, wow. So now, like my friends, so I told most of my friends that once I graduate from college, I want to have a full-time job. But COVID came, I didn't have a full-time job. It was tough. The job market was very tough. So I always tell people that in life, you have to have like three steps, like step one, step two, step three. You can't have like multiple plans in life. So step one didn't work out for me because of the COVID. Mess it up. And step two, I was looking into like MBA program. I wanted to focus on MBA program. So my parents didn't force me to go and do my MBA program, or none of my friends didn't force me to go and do my MBA program. It's just the inspiration advice that people gave it to me. And I really took that inspiration advice, and it really helped me to figure out, okay, this is what I want. Like, I want to pursue my MBA at this point. So since I'm in my MBA program right now, this is my first trisemester, because secret out they go by trisemester, and I'm loving it. And I'm meeting new people from my classes, even though most people that I'm taking classes with, they're young like me. I mean, I wouldn't say young. They're professional like me. So regardless that whatever they're gonna do in life, they're gonna hire me one day. They say, "Oh wow, this Eric is the one that I met through Secret Art, and I want to hire him for this particular job." You know, so that's one thing that I always try to tell people that in life you have to have like three steps in life. If you have four steps, you can't go in. You can't have plan A, plan B, or you have to have plan A, plan B, and plan C. That's all. That's the three stages in life.
I like that, and I want to expand on what you mentioned, because I always look at everyone's LinkedIn before I interview them, and you did a lot of things right as far as preparing yourself to have that full time job when you were done with Eastern.
Yes,
you had multiple internships. I think you had an internship at Otis Elevator. And you were doing, to your point, you were really getting yourself ready to graduate and get that full-time job. But I think you ran into the similar situation, Eric, that many students ran into, is they graduated, I'm assuming you graduated in May of 2020.
Yes.
In the middle of the pandemic. And to your point, a lot of employers were not hiring because they really didn't know. They were very cautious. They didn't know what was going to happen.
Yes.
But I think two things. One, it didn't stop you from still finding work, because, and I want to talk about that. You ended up with an internship last summer,
yes,
and you ended up doing the Summer Learning Academy for AT&T at the same time.
Yes.
So I want to talk about that, but I want to give you a lot of credit for not being so discouraged because of COVID. You know, you still found an internship and you still applied to Sacred Heart and got in.
Yes.
During COVID, which are two big things. So tell us about, tell us what you've learned, because you've had multiple internships at this point.
Yes.
And I know you're going to have another internship coming up this summer.
Yes.
Tell my audience, because Eric, so many early career professionals need to hear this. Why is doing so many different internships such a powerful experience for you? Like, how has that helped you?
So, all right, so this one I'm going to tell the audience. So I'm not going to mention names out here because I don't like to do those kind of stuff. So
yeah, that's fine.
I did so many internships and people may ask, wow, why don't you go for full-time job? I just laugh in my mind, you know, because they don't know, because doing an internship is always experience, and it's also learning, and it's also building up the skills and stuff, you know. So if the more that you do the internship, the more that is helping you to get into your next field in the career. Who knows? Since I'm doing my fourth internship with the insurance company, who knows? Maybe the time will tell. Maybe at that time, they're going to offer me a full-time job. Because the reason I'm saying, the COVID vaccine just came. Turns out, like every time that I come on LinkedIn, so many people are getting jobs around. Compared to last year, it was hard for people to get a job. So like doing that internship, I find it more useful to myself, not only because that it helps me to learn and stuff. I love learning already. That's lifelong learner, you know. And I also use that internship to make like networking with people and to use my internship experience to inspire other people so they can secure more internship.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you bring up multiple good points. You're getting experience to figure out, you know, what you want to do, right? When you're done with school full time, which is also obviously great to have on your resume. You're getting to network. You're getting to learn. And I always tell people, Eric, that is a really taking an internship or a co-op position.
Yes.
It's a great way to understand the culture of a company.
Yes.
And it's really important to understand the culture of a company before you go work at a company, because you want to make sure it's a good fit for you. And unfortunately, there's no way, no one has cracked the code yet, Eric, where they figured out how to bottle the culture of a company and share it with you and say, here you go, Eric, here's what the culture of this company's like. But internships are a great way to figure that out. So I appreciate that. And congrats on your internship coming up this summer. I think that's going to be great.
Thank you.
I want to talk more about the decision.
Yes.
Because it must have been hard to not go for the full-time job and to enroll in your MBA? Because to your point, you had hope, you had a lot of dreams that that's what you were going to do when you were done with school, was get that full-time job. At what point in 2020 did you realize, you know what, getting a full-time job right now in the middle of COVID is going to be really hard. I'm going to use this opportunity to go back to school and get my MBA. What was, like, at what point did you make that decision?
Oh, can I repeat the question one more time? Sorry for that.
At what point in 2020 did you determine that you weren't going to try to find a full-time job and instead go back to school?
So honestly, so I was looking for a full-time job. So during around like the first week of June, I was looking for a full-time job, and I did apply for some couple full-time jobs, and I went through multiple interviews with different companies, and I met the hiring manager on Skype, and the hiring manager gave feedback to the recruiter that I did excellent on my interview. And the recruiter told me that the hiring manager, they have like another intern that they already trained the intern. So they passed that job to the intern. So if it wasn't like, if the hiring manager didn't have no intern in that department, they could have offered me that job, the full-time job. So that was something that, and then I said, okay, look into more internship just to see where things is going to bring up to me and stuff, you know, cause regardless what I do, I just love doing it. Even if it's a full-time job or if it's like an internship, I'll just take it just to see where it goes from, you know?
Yeah, and again, I think a lot of individuals are using COVID as an opportunity to go back to school. Not only people that were just done with school like yourself, but even individuals that maybe have been out of school for a few years are using the time to go back to school because they find it, to your point, if it's hard to find work, it's a good time to continue their education.
And also like going back to school, since I finished my bachelor's degree and do my MBA program, I still remember a lot of stuff that I learned from my undergrad, but in the MBA program, it's more in depth. The longer that you wait, I know most like, I don't know, maybe probably you probably graduate like 19 something, like probably you forget most of the college stuff already. So the longer that people get, the longer that they're going to forget most of that you are learning in your MBA program. Like I'm not trying to tell people that, okay, just go ahead and do their MBA program. For me, I did a little bit research on Secret Lab, and the reason why I chose Secret Lab because Secret Lab is in the city, Fairfield City. And I said, okay, like city, New York, Stanford, who knows? Maybe there's a lot of like opportunity in the cities. There's a lot of like opportunities and stuff. That's why I chose that school because they have a lot of like good programming and stuff, you know?
Yeah, so I'm not quite as old as you think. So I actually graduated from the University of Connecticut in 2003, but you're right. I did not go back and get my master's. It's something that I wish I had done. And now with a family, it's really hard. So I think you bring up a good point that it is easier to get your, you know, a master's degree or additional school earlier on in your career when you might not have as many responsibilities as you get older. So I think that's a great point. Yes. I do want to ask you a question. So you mentioned you're getting an MBA, yes. So Master's of Business Administration. Yes. Why an MBA and not another, like a different degree, like a master's in, you know, something, you know, maybe management or accounting? Why the MBA?
That's a great question. Honestly, accounting wasn't my interest. I'm not going to say that I didn't like it or I hate accounting. It wasn't my interest. It was too much data, like numbers and stuff. And I mean, I'm good at numbers. Like for example, when it comes to like algebra, I'm good at algebra, but accounting, I didn't want to stick with it. And the reason why I didn't go for different masters in different programs, cause learning from undergrad with like management, finance, whatever that I learned from undergrad, I knew everything. And I think I said, okay, I can use this into my MBA program. Cause in the MBA program, you do a lot of more case analysis and case studies. So, and then you use those case studies to apply to like a real life situations and stuff. So I always love enjoying doing like those kind of stuff around me. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to follow up one question to, yeah. You alluded to it before, but I want to follow back up on when you make these big decisions, right? When you made your decision to go to Eastern, when you made your decision to go back to school and get a master's at Sacred Heart, who's your support system that you talk to help make these decisions? Like, so who are the people that you bounce ideas off of and ask questions to and discuss these really challenging decisions?
Yeah, this is a great question. Honestly, like I always tell people, like always, my family is first. My family always come first because they're always trying to support me and encourage me. And they always know that I have the confidence and faith in myself. They always know that I have the faith in myself, right? And those people who are watching me through the YouTube or the LinkedIn platform, those are the people that I reach out to them as well too. Because Nick, even my family, they can be my mentor, you know? And those people watching my LinkedIn and the YouTube platform, they can also be my mentor. Even Nick, you can be my mentor. So those, again, if I mention names out here, it's going to take a whole day. So I always try to reach out to everyone like that. I always keep in touch. Yes.
Yeah. So you definitely appreciate the diversity of thought of all these individuals that support you. Exactly. So Eric, you know, I want to say thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate sharing your journey with my audience. I always close the podcast with the same question with every guest.
Yes.
And it's what has helped you reach your full potential throughout your career? So like, what is that one thing that you would share, Eric, with my audience that's helped you be so successful?
Yeah. So for me, so being successful is not building a relationship with each other, you know, cause the reason I'm saying everyone speak different language, you know, cause it is really hard to build a relationship with somebody, but you have to have the same communication together. Like contradiction. Yeah. You have to make that communication contradiction so you can understand each other and build strong relationship. And also being like networking yourself around is always something great. Like if I say networking yourself, like for me, the country I came from, I play soccer, right? I play soccer. But when I came here, I started getting myself in golf because I know that golf is a huge impact in everyone's life, you know? So that's something that I just want to like tell everyone that they should join golf. Even if you don't have to play golf, just go there and help them out and make that connection. Because last year I went to a golf club meeting and I met one of the CFO from the insurance at the Hartford Insurance. And he reached out to me that, Eric, I would love to set up like a Zoom call so you can talk to me about your background. And every day I'll be keeping in touch with him all the time. So, and it's kind of like we build that strong relationship and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Building relationships is so key to, you know, being successful personally and professionally. So Eric, thank you so much for joining and sharing your journey. I wish you the best at your internship this summer, as well as your continued education at Sacred Heart, getting your MBA, and I'll continue to follow your journey on LinkedIn. And I appreciate you sharing your insights with my audience tonight.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you for having me so much.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Full Potential Podcast. If you'd like to hear more interviews, please subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts, Google, and Spotify. You can also connect with us on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And don't forget to check out our website, fullpotentialmovement.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing, and be well.